Father, we're just so thankful we're happy in Jesus this morning. Glory to God, we're just satisfied with Him alone. Even if we don't know it, praise be to God, we're satisfied with Him alone. Lord, that's who You are. You're forever faithful. Thank You, God, You abide faithful. Thank You, Lord, that praise Your name, dear God, that we're looking to You this morning. We're again looking to You for all the increase. God, You're a God of increase. And Lord, we're here before Your throne of grace. In Jesus' name, Lord, increase Your truth and love in us. God, help our unbelief. Lord, help us to be full of faith and believing, drawing nigh with full assurance of faith, believing You that, You know, nothing's hard for God. Thank You, Lord, that You visit with us as friends. But praise be to God, You're a lover. And I'm thankful, Lord, that You're the Lord that healeth all of our diseases. I'm thankful to God that You know our downsetting and our uprising and our thought afar off. You know the hair on our head. God, You know us. Lord, help us to know You today. Help us to know You more and love You more, to realize what a God of love You are. Lord, help us to see more of Your vision for us. Lord, what You want us to take of You. And that's all things. To grow up into You in all things. We just thank You for this time. We thank You for this glorious message. Lord, penetrate our hearts with it. Help us to break up this fallow ground, God, and work deep this morning. More of the beautiful Jesus in us. We praise Your name. We give You thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. If you open your Bibles with me today, I know this will be a surprise, but we're going to Galatians. And we'll be in the fourth chapter today. And for those that might not be real familiar with this letter, it's a precious letter to some saints that were very precious to Paul's heart that he had ministered to and taught the gospel of the grace and glory doctrine to them. And they received that glory doctrine and they were so excited of the things of God and they were doing so well and they ran well and they were running to attain the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And here he comes back and understands and hears of the report and, oh my goodness, who hath bewitched you? You foolish Galatians, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Paul's brokenhearted, but he's also encouraged of the Lord. Brother, tell it like it is. I love him. Preach my truth in love, fervently. These ones, brothers and sisters, these Galatian saints, they loved Paul so much and loved this doctrine so much, it said that they would have plucked out their own eyes and given them to Paul. As we know that Paul had a problem with his vision. They loved him so much. But in this fourth chapter, as they've been carried away with this doctrine of works, with legality, with somehow I'm going to be perfected with my own strength and might and what I can do, as opposed to, as the Lord said it straight from the very beginning, Abel, bring me the lamb. That's what makes me happy. That's what satisfies me fully. Behold the Lamb of God. So here's what Paul says to him in the 16th verse. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Sends chills up and down my spine. I am thankful for the spirit that, praise be to God, is here in Brother Paul. He wasn't afraid to preach the grace of God. He was moved of the love of God. When you preach, when you truly preach the grace of God, it's love. It's passion. It's all glory to Him. There's nothing to magnify ourselves because it's grace. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. It's His desire, His love, undying, unmerited, and so much more for you. But brothers and sisters, He was moved in that love. And He was moved in that better are the wounds of a friend than the kisses of an enemy. But the Lord has been dealing with my heart on this, and it does sadden my heart how rare this spirit is. In matter of fact, this spirit of preaching the grace and glory doctrine, brothers and sisters, is almost extinct. And it is. And yes, we've been preaching on this for quite some time. Matter of fact, I believe almost 70 years in this place. Quite some time. But most of God's precious people, I'm finding out, are fearful or reluctant to really preach the word of His grace. They're fearful maybe because it doesn't draw crowds. They're fearful maybe because it's not as sensational in its smoke and mirrors. And I can't imagine that, because the grace of God is so sensational. It's so beyond, I can't even imagine. But somehow, some way, we have itching ears for everything else. But as the Lord has drawn me into the word of His grace, I'm finding out that it's only the word of His grace that is the whole counsel of God. Do you realize that? That the word of His grace is the whole counsel of God? I'm not talking about a little grace here and a little grace there. I'm talking about the grace and glory doctrine is the whole counsel of God. And thanks be to God, brothers and sisters, that the whole counsel of God, praise the Lord, is what builds us up. It's the word of His grace that gives us inheritance among all them that are sanctified. And we're talking about an inheritance, brothers and sisters, such as Paul and Timothy, Epaphras. Those ones that praise God, as Paul said, I'm ready to be offered. He had no doubt. Praise be to God that he had fought the fight and he had kept the faith. And it was laid out before him. And praise the Lord, he preached that precious message as the Spirit moved him. And he said, and not unto me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Praise God. This is the inheritance we're talking about. See, again, I don't want to see this thing afar off. I want to get in it. I want to get out there just like Elisha did and say, double portion, please. I want the mantle. And brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, that's yours. That's the message that God has given you. Not to look off and at it and say, well, that's nice over yonder and that's looking really good over there. No, that's mine. That is mine. God has invited me in, praise the Lord, to take it. See, I hear about this purpose all the time. Oh, God's going to help. Let's help you find your purpose. We're going to help find your purpose. Don't you realize what you do in life is just an after effect of really finding the purpose of the Lord? You know what the purpose of the Lord is that you grow up into Him in all things. That you attain, that you reach, that you press for the mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That the purpose of God in your life is to be filled with all the fullness of God. That the purpose of God in your life is to win Him. That your purpose in life, by God's grace, is to know the love of Christ. To come to the full, exact, complete, and intimate knowledge of the truth. Well, I thought that that was just for my pastor. I thought that that was just for that sister that, you know, once you're over 70, you know, you kind of get into that crowd over there. And then that's when you start to know it. Now. And that is for you now. And you're wasting your time by going after anything else. Any other doctrine is not the doctrine of the grace and glory that God has seen fit by His grace to give us at this time. He's searching for a goodly pearl. I'm so thankful to the Lord that that has struck our hearts, brothers and sisters. But God help us to not neglect so great salvation. That we do give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. And brothers and sisters, it's happening. Because God said it would. That the love of many would wax cold. And that's not just over there for the sinner. It's for God's precious people, and it's happening. They're loving entertainment more. They're loving things that occupy their time more and more. Brothers and sisters, we need to love Him and to love the truth by His grace. Now, that's not something that I can do in myself. But see, it's the very will of God. And by His grace, He said, you know what? Pray, Father, Thy will be done. And I'm talking about, Lord, give me that heart that Your will would be done in my life. sincerity, brothers and sisters, that, Lord, I know that you want this for me. I know that you're the forever faithful God. I know that you always abide faithful. I'm thankful to you, Lord, that you will perform that in my life. You've begun that work, and it's a good work. They sang about it. It's a perfect work. And praise the Lord, he will perform that in our lives. But brothers and sisters, now, I understand, and we've heard it from time to time in the years, even in this meeting, that some believe somehow that by preaching the grace of God, listen to this, that by preaching the grace of God to you, that it will cause the people to run amok. And what's ironic about that is if you're not preaching the grace of God, the people are already in the muck. And that's the truth. We have to understand and believe what the Word of God says, and I'm so thankful it's etched on the steps as you come in this place. 2 Peter 3:18. Grow in grace. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How much more direct and simple could it be? Didn't say grow in works or grow in your intellect or grow in how much you know. It said grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the more you know about Jesus Christ, let me tell you something, the more you'll know grace. Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. Amen. Man, let him connect those dots of love. Praise his name. How simple. But see, many pursue some distorted vision of the gospel of Christ, thinking that somehow that they can mix grace and works together. I'm sure many of you in your chemistry class growing up, oil and water don't mix. Well, let me tell you something. You can at least get those in the same container. You can't even get grace and works in the same universe. You can't. Understand what the Word of God says, because it's very crystal clear in this. It says in the 11th chapter of Romans, if it be of works, then it is no more of grace. It also goes on to say, by the deeds of the law there shall be no flesh justified. Can you imagine that? What don't you get about that? By the deeds of the flesh there shall be no flesh justified. By the deeds of the law, man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And that's a conclusion. That means finished, nailed to the cross, paid for completely with the blood of Jesus. Do you kind of sense maybe why you're not growing? Because we're still hanging on to things that are dead, that are finished, to let go of that dead carcass, that dead old man. See, brothers and sisters, I do hear often, as I'm hearing right now, oh, amen, 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 amen. But then so quickly after the amen stops, well, we have to draw the line back in here, brother. Because how are we going to do this without some legality in here to control the people, to somehow get some accountability in here? How can we not oversee the flock without a list of rules? So in other words, what you're saying is you can't grow or be perfected without works. No, I'm going to tell you what you're saying. You're calling God a liar. I'm here to call it like it is. And brothers and sisters, what did Paul say to these poor, bewitched, blind brethren in Galatia? He said, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? He was speaking to brethren. He was speaking to precious ones that not just accepted Christ Jesus as Savior, but had run and run well, and were attaining to the things of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus' doctrine. They were on the move. They were holding fast that crown which thou hast, that no man take it. But yet, these troublemakers came in. Troublemakers. Stay away from troublemakers. Remember that as a kid? If you had a good mom, she said, you run with that crowd, you're going to start to smell like them. You play with that fire, that smoke's going to be on you. Troublemakers. And that's what legal ones are. I don't care how nice they smile. I don't care how upright they walk. I don't care all of the things that they might do for you, give you, or whatever. If they're tying you up with legality, they're troubling your life. And you need to flee that evil. Because that's not just the appearance. That's evil. Do you see how much legality hurts the Father? When you think that He gave His Son for all of that. See, that's what causes my eyes to swell. I don't want to hurt my Father. Because He gave us His Son. And any time we yield or give over to Lord, I'm going to do this to please You in my might. That's just dirty rotten. It grieves the Father. The fellowship has been disturbed. You're in His hand. You'll forever be in His hand. But the ache. Honey, I want to rest in this. I want to rest with You and my Son. I want that fellowship. I want You to return home, because in that kind of a state of heart, You're not in the kingdom. You're out there running around in the mire of the world. And you best wake up, or you're going to miss the best part. Brothers and sisters, those that say you got to keep, those that say you got to do, Brother Paul made it very clear, that doctrine separates you from the grace of God. And I believe we started out this morning, grow in grace. See, it says in this precious letter, they had fallen from the grace of God. They departed from the grace of God. Oh, but brother, they seemed like they were really more holy. I mean, they had those commandments just sitting right out there in front. They were watching everybody. You living right? Your skirt too high? Oh, he wore shorts to church. I want you to come to church. Then God will encourage you. Amen? Don't you want to be a people of love? This isn't anything goes. Cut that nonsense out. But God help us to be real in the Lord. I want to be a restorer. I want to be spiritual. I, by God's grace, want to be moved of Him to go in backwards with a blanket and cover. I don't like to see those things anymore. And it aches my heart that a good portion of our body still seems to delight in exposing our brother's sin. You know, daily we hear stories, and we probably know ones, and maybe in our families, and it might be us, of people that live in abusive situations. And it's heartbreaking. And I'm talking about children or spouses. You know, they're in areas of an environment, I should say, that maybe they're called stupid, worthless, no good. And you know, if you put yourself in that situation long enough, you'll begin to believe it. It's a sad thing. I meet quite a few kids sometimes, and some dear, precious brothers and sisters that are caught up in that. But see, that's exactly what the enemy does to us when he gets us away from the grace of God. He lies to you, and he abuses you. And brothers and sisters, if we don't get away from that, we will live that defeat day by day. And I really want to make it clear as well, too. Don't be fooled. A little leaven, a little bit of legality, it leavens the whole lump. You can't skate the two. It's either grace or it's works. And if you give opportunity to works, if you give opportunity to flesh, it's going to consume the whole lot. It will. There's a battle going on. You talk about the good fight of faith. We are justified by faith. Amen. And this is important. And this is something we cannot be ignorant of the devil's devices here, brothers and sisters. We're a warring group. We're to endure hardness as good soldiers. We'll be cast out. We'll be mocked. Again, oh, you're the anything goes group. No. You just want to be critical. You just want to be ugly. You just want to sling things. And you know what? By God's grace, I do want to hit you in the face, but I got to get on my knees too, and I got to pray. I'm being real. Sometimes we throw around godly anger a little too easily. I believe Jesus Christ was on his knees quite a bit. Now, brothers and sisters, that lump is all leavened with just a little bit. And I don't know about you, but see, I don't want the glory of God departing from my life even one bit. Now, people might say, what are you talking about, brother? I'm talking about the grace and glory doctrine. That's what I'm talking about. I don't want that tarnished by God's grace. It's too valuable, brothers and sisters. You see, it is grace and glory. See, we've been preaching this and rejoicing in this over the past some weeks. You'll never have glory without grace. You cannot get to glory without grace. You'll never be glorified together with him without the effectual, fervent power of grace working in your life. You can think you're suffering for Christ's sake because you have denied things and laid yourself on a bed of nails or whatever nutty thing you want to do. But that's not the grace of God. That's yourself. I want you to win his best. Do you get it today by God's grace? Not some cheap counterfeit, because it's not going to get there. It's got to be him. You're my workmanship. You're my clay. Quit. Grace saints. Oh, them's grace saints. Let's get it straight. You, every saint there's ever been is saved by grace. Okay? So we all began in grace. Amen? The question is are you going to continue in grace? So we talk about, well, they're a grace assembly. Well, let's talk about a little bit about, well, they're a grace assembly. And I pray to God that there be grace assemblies everywhere. But I want to talk about continuing in grace. I want to talk about a life that lives and apprehends the grace of God. You know what that'll happen to that assembly? They will apprehend and know the bridal message. Because that's grace. So, if there's a child of God or an assembly by God's grace, and it is his grace that any assembly is there anyways. But if there's a child of God or an assembly that isn't apprehending that bridal message, that doesn't know about it, that doesn't want to know about it, I have news for you. They haven't apprehended all of the grace of God. Well, you're awful quiet. But it's the truth. I'm telling you the truth. If you'll apprehend all the grace of God, it'll lead one place, and that is into the midst of the throne with Jesus Christ. It's by my Spirit. I believe that's what the Word of God says. Do you think it's more of the will of God that you win Him than you? I believe it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Understand these things, brothers and sisters. But compromise we can't. And it hurts when you start to really get a vision of it. When you start to see ones that you love so much. And praise God, you know what? Even love them more. But you have to see it for what it is. It's wood, hay, and stubble. It's not the gold, silver, and the precious stone. And that's what Paul was preaching here. And that's why they were starting to get a little bit rude with him. Matter of fact, calling him an enemy. Do you hate me? Do you hate me now, Paul? Man, you're being awful harsh. I love Jesus. Oh, Paul said very clearly, am I now become your enemy because I preach to you the truth? I pray God you've hit that part in your life. If you haven't, I think there's compromise. Now, I'm not telling you to go out there and hammer people. That's not what this message is about. But this message is to stand, withstand, and having done all, to stand. And there is a great sleep, a slumber that's coming over the church right now. God said it would be. And it's about done. But there are a few that are alive, awake, that are not sleeping in the night, that are looking for that thief. Praise God. And it is something to get excited about. You don't realize how he's touched your life. You get kind of complacent. You don't realize how special you are to him. And he's encouraging you all along. That's why he sends these trials to you. Because you would be sleeping if you weren't on your knees crying out to God saying, Lord, I need you. That's why it's not strange. That's why I sat there with Brother Herbie and I was so thankful to hear. He said, oh, honey, it's been marvelous, all of this trial. And you can't help but sit there and look at all those pictures and those loved ones that are gone. I mean, it just rips your heart out. But he knows of the truth that it's not strange. This is what's kept me right against that thorn to cry out to you. That precious little thrush, the only way he can sing that song is to press that breast against that thorn. So what about it? Do you want to win his best? Do you? Do we come in here every week and, man, this is a great story? If you really want to win him, apprehend the grace of God. Grace alone. Anytime that enemy come on to say, oh, well, you can do this or you can do that or let's go over here. No, my goodness. You're feasting at the king's table. Don't go to the garbage can. Don't. Don't rake through the muck. Don't compromise because you think it's a better sell in your family. Don't compromise because it's the only way that I can get all of us to go to church. Don't do it. Lovest thou me more than these? God ain't about breaking up your family. He's not. But he sure is about breaking up that fallow ground. And there's only going to be a few. It's only going to be a handful. And we sit in this life sometimes and we think, oh, well, man, my blood relations, that's all I got. I got to hunker down. We got to hold this fast. Your life's a vapor and it's gone. Gone in a moment. We're sitting on the edge of forever. Forever. This little moment of passing through, it's mighty, mighty vital. It's mighty, mighty important. Matter of fact, sets everything in motion as to what you're ready to inherit it. Inherit when you see Him face to face. Get a vision. Ask Him for that vision today. Ask Him, Lord, I need to feast on You. Oh, I've heard those. I love how Brother Hill used to say it, ignoramus. Got a lot of good rhymes in there. But it is what it is. Oh, brother, you mean all I have to do is just sit around and I'm going to win God's best? Ignoramus. Because with that state of heart, you're not going to win anything. Even a child knows that to grow up, they got to eat. They got to drink. Amen? Well, I believe we're feasting today. And all I can tell you is by the grace of God, in Jesus' name, Lord, let me feast. This new man that lives in here, let him eat. Lord, let me just yield. Let me sit before it. Praise God, that wonderful Holy Ghost, the Comforter, the Teacher. Let Him take the things of Christ and make them mine. Let me feast upon You, Lord God, the bread of life, to drink of that drink that I will never thirst again. But that's the life that has to feed. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. You feast upon that, we'll all be running out of here. We'll all be flying out of here. That's no strange thing. That's a vessel on fire. That's a vessel, praise God, shut up to Him. You need to get a time in your life where, you know what? It could only be uttered to You. I can only get in Your presence. I'm so ravished of heart, I just want to rip it all off. As David came in there at that time, he said, I don't care about what everybody else is thinking. I'm done with you all. I'm so happy in the Lord. I'm so happy in Jesus. I just got to dance before Him. I want the grace of God like that. I believe, as they sang, that's good. Take it. I don't know how much more time we have. But I know that it's quickly slipping away. And I know that the love of many is waxing cold. And I know that the message that's going on in many a place is that good God, good devil, and good everybody. Giving the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. Let's bow our heads. Father, we again thank You for Your gentle way that You deal with us. You speak to us so clearly. I remember my sweet daddy and how he would set me aside sometimes, give me some serious talking, looking into my eyes. Father, how You're doing that today with Your children. And it's all because You love so much. You say, honeys, this is what you need. This is what you need to take. I know you. I know you better than yourself. Take of my son. Take of him. We give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.